Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking. I really appreciate you getting up and listening this morning. It's so nice of you. It's a beautiful day, and it's going to be a great day. Hey, I want to remind folks that we have selected the date for our Dentistry from the Heart event. It will be September 12th from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. If you'd like to learn more information, go to www.drkvitko.com or dentallyspeaking.com. Okay, there's info about that. And also, by the way, we were able to make a Team Smile event come to fruition again this year. It is going to be June 27th, and it will be held at Nationwide Arena. So if you're a dental assistant, if you're a dental hygienist or a dentist, we need you. We need you for both events, actually. And at Team Smile, about 250 to 300 children, low-income children, will receive free dental care that day. And we also, at Dentistry from the Heart, we've done somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300 to 400 people each time we've held the event. A minor programming change. You may remember that last week I mentioned we were going to have a couple of OSU veterinary students on this morning, but we've postponed that until next week because it is, well, we have Dr. Bill Nelson with us, and we are going to talk about National Facial Protection Month. All right, so I'm going to read Dr. Nelson's bio here, and then we'll bring him on, okay? All right, so Dr. Bill Nelson of Green Bay, Wisconsin, is president-elect of the American Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, known as AMIS, the professional organization that represents more than 9,000 oral and maxillofacial surgeons and 1,000 of their professional allied staff. Dr. Nelson will assume the position of AMIS president in October of 2014. Dr. Nelson was in group practice in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 26 years, the last 15 as a founding partner of a 150-physician medical specialty group. He is currently an adjunct associate professor in the Division of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery at the University of Minnesota. Prior to becoming president-elect, Dr. Nelson served a one-year term as AMIS's vice president and 4 years as District 4 trustee on the AMIS Board of Trustees, where he represented the oral and maxillofacial surgeons in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, as well as those oral and maxillofacial surgeons in the Veterans Administration and the United States Public Health Service. Dr. Nelson is a diplomat and past president of the American Board of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgery, Board of Directors, and a Fellow of the American College of Dentists, Pierre Fachaud Academy, and the International College of Dentists. He received his dental degree from Creighton University and completed his surgical training at Gunderson Lutheran Medical Center, La Crosse, Wisconsin. So, hey, Dr. Nelson, thank you so much for getting up and being on my show. I really appreciate it. How are you today?
It's a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Kvitko. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's, this Facial Protection Month, this National Facial Protection Month, is this something new? Because I haven't heard a lot about it.
National Facial Protection Month actually has been around for quite a while. It's a collaboration between the AAOMS, the Academy of Sports Dentistry, the Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, the American Dental Association, and the American Association of Orthodontists. And it has been around for several years, and our goal is particularly during a time when a lot of spring sports and summer sports are going into high gear to increase the awareness of facial injuries and what steps can be taken to protect young athletes during this time.
That was a long list, and I'm trying to remember. Did you mention the ophthalmologists?
No, the ophthalmologists are not part of it, but we'd like them to be part of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like they should be because of, injuries to the orbit, to the eye socket.
That's a great idea.
Huh. We'll have to call them. I wonder if they're awake. You think they're awake now? Probably not, right? Okay, so now tell me, and we're probably gonna make this Dr. Kvitko's question of the day later, so pay attention. And that is, how many people each year are treated in emergency rooms across the U.S. for facial trauma injuries?
Well, facial traumatic injuries are approximately 3 million people a year, 3 million visits a year for the whole gamut of facial injuries. When we look at sports-related injuries, and particularly when we look at children or adolescents, it's estimated that about 2% of all children or adolescents who participate in a sport eventually will suffer a facial injury severe enough to require medical attention.
Well, that's like 1 in 50, right?
That is correct.
So if you're on a football team where there's about 28 kids running around, two of those teams, one of those kids, one kid for every two teams is going to wind up in the emergency room.
Well, at some point in their participation in contact type sports or sports in general, about 2% will sustain an injury that requires either dental or medical attention.
Wow! And by the way, 3 million people—that's you know, that's like about half of the number of people that just signed up for Obamacare. That's a and took them forever to get that number of people, right?
That's correct.
So now the types of injuries that you see, I mentioned maybe a broken orbit, the eye socket. What other injuries would are you seeing?
Well, the injuries certainly can range from a tooth that is broken or knocked out to soft tissue injuries, lacerations, cuts of the lip, nasal injuries, facial fractures of both the upper and lower jaw, the eye socket. So that it runs the whole gamut of potential facial injuries, and then certainly the concern of for concussive type of injuries that that come with any type of facial trauma.
So as an oral surgeon, it's your job to put these kids back together when they come in with facial bones that have been crushed or broken in some way, correct?
Right. That's our goal is certainly to restore our patients to function and restore the appearance or aesthetics after they've suffered some type of traumatic facial injury.
It seems like we're really good at closing the barn door after the horses got out, because you'll see a lot of people, they don't wear any protection until they get the injury, and then the next thing you know, they're wearing one of those plastic face masks, something they probably should have been wearing all along. So how do you get parents and get the kids to think this is a good idea to wear these protective devices before they have the injury?
Well, it's obvious that any type of sports-related facial injury, the best thing to do is prevent them. And many facial injuries are preventable by wearing the proper protective equipment based on what the sport or activity that the individual is involved in. And so some of the guidelines for equipment is, one, to make sure that the equipment's in good condition and that it's functioning properly, and that we require, that we push to require protective equipment for players, such as helmets, face masks, mouth guards, eyeglass guards or goggles, and appropriate padding. It's interesting that some of the sports where, for example, mouth guards are required, take football for an example, on the high school level, where mouth guards are required, we don't see a lot of dental facial injuries in individuals who are wearing the appropriate required equipment. Now, some other sports, for example, soccer or maybe baseball in certain locales, they don't require any mouth guards. And so we see a higher incidence in that basketball, soccer, baseball, field hockey, lacrosse, you know, all those areas where mouth guards might not be part of the required equipment, we find an increased incidence of facial injuries.
Yeah, it's amazing. Baseball, you don't think of baseball, I guess. I mean, they do wear the batting helmet, but other than that, they don't have to wear a helmet or any facial protection. And my next-door neighbor several years ago was in the outfield, went up for a pop fly, lost it in the sun. The ball came down and popped him in the tooth, knocked it out, broke the other one. You know, all he had on was a little baseball cap.
Absolutely.
So, hey, it looks like it's time to do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day. So I think what we're going to do is before we do that, we'll ask folks to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
All right, and let me remind folks that the winner of today's question of the day will receive free flowers from Weistember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. And my guest, Dr. Bill Nelson, and I are discussing National Facial Protection Month. So, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day is, how many people each year are treated in emergency rooms across the U.S. for facial traumatic injuries? Is it A, 1 million, B, 3 million, or C, 10 million? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weistember Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito. Make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kvitko. The other day, I saw a dental office TV commercial that said they make their dentures in days, not weeks. Well, guess what? We now offer the Lorel One-Step Denture, which means we can make your denture in about an hour. You heard me right. Dentures in about an hour, and on top of that, they cost only half as much as traditional dentures. If you have a few teeth that need removed first, we can do that at the same time and still make your dentures in about an hour. Interested? Call us at 262-9588. That's
262-9588. Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kvitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kvitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
We're together. Don't make me smile.
Okay, and we're back, and we're doing Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, which is, how many people each year are treated in emergency rooms across the U.S. for facial traumatic injuries? And Dr. Nelson, we have four people on the line. We have Philip, Josie, Eric, and Sierra. And what I ask my guests to do is pick a number from 1 to 4.
Let's go with 4.
Okay, that would be Sierra. Hey, Sierra, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for listening, first of all. And I hear you have someone else listening, too. That's good. What's the answer to today's Dr. Kvitko's question of the day?
I want to say B, 3 million.
That's correct. Did you know it would be that high?
I'm sorry?
Did you know it would be that high?
I know. That's very surprising, actually.
And you have a child, so that's important for you to know, right?
Yes, it is.
And what do you do for a living besides being a mom?
I am about to graduate in May from OSU.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Very good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and stay on the phone so we can get the information on where to send those flowers, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you have a great day, and keep listening.
You too. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right, so Dr. Nelson, let's go back here. So we talked about how many injuries and some of the types. And, you know, in some of the sports, like my son played lacrosse, you mentioned lacrosse, and he played ice hockey. And now in ice hockey, they have to wear the whole cage thing, which is good. Although in the pros, they don't, which is really weird to me. But I remember specifically that if a ref in both of those sports saw that you didn't have your mouth guard in, they would stop play and make you put one in, or you'd have to go sit out. And I remember, because I made the mouth guards for everyone on his team, if they wanted one, I would make them for free, and they had to be a color. They had to be some color. It couldn't be clear, so that the refs could tell whether they were in their mouth or not.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, did you have any boys that, or girls that played sports?
Three of them. Soccer players and basketball players.
And they all wore mouth guards.
I would say no. And it drove me crazy. It's a peer thing. It requires, I believe, both a collaboration between coaches and parents, as well as leaders on teams. You know, if the best athlete and the coolest kid all of a sudden has a mouth guard, then everybody's wearing mouth guards.
Right, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm so glad that I asked that question and you answered that, because it's true. It's like, you know, as a dentist, I'm telling my son, you need to wear this, and he's saying, yeah, no one else does, but it really does matter.
It certainly does.
Now, I mentioned my neighbor who had a tooth knocked out. Tell me what would you do if someone came in to you with a tooth knocked out, or what should the parents do or the coach?
Well, there are some important recommendations when a tooth is knocked out, and it's important to know that frequently teeth that have been knocked out or severely displaced can be repositioned or be reattached. The typical types of things to keep in mind is, one is how the tooth is handled. It's important to only handle the tooth by the crown portion,
okay,
not by the root.
Okay.
Because there are fibers on the roots that help with that reattachment process. And the other important thing is to not allow the tooth to dry out. The ideal situation, if an individual is comfortable doing it, is to actually put the tooth back up in the socket, even if it doesn't go in all the way,
right,
to get it back in its natural environment. A second choice would be to place the tooth in the cheek or between the cheek and gum area,
right,
to allow for moisture. And then also other steps could be to place the tooth in cold milk or saltwater solution, saline solution, if that would be available.
You know, there's a product called Save a Tooth.
Right.
And you can search it online. I don't have the information with me, but it's save-tooth.
Right, and that is a saline solution that keeps the tooth moist.
Right, and I guess it has all of the right electrolytes or something that'll keep it. It's probably the first would be keep it in their own mouth between their cheek, and
right,
like you said. But if they can't do that, probably save a tooth. Would you think?
Yes, and you know, I would certainly encourage, you know, all sports teams, and many of them do, with in their emergency sideline kits. They will have the Save a Tooth or actual products similar to that. I've worked with the Packers for many years, and I know that we always had four of those in the emergency kit that was on the sidelines all the time. So
wow,
there are several different products, but those are definitely worth having in the emergency kit at any type of sports related activity.
Cool. Now, what would the signs and symptoms of facial fractures be? Let's say a child gets popped and they have like a bruise or something. They don't really know that they have a broken bone yet. How would the parents know that this is more than a bruise or a bump?
Well, any type of swelling or bruising certainly should indicate that there has been a blow of enough significance that there potentially is a factor, that there could be a fracture. Some of the things to be particularly aware of is very severe pain or numbness in the face or cheeks or lips area. Certainly when we look at orbital injuries, double or blurred vision, nosebleeds that just continue, that don't stop with the application of some pressure and ice. And then changes in the ability to close the mouth properly, which can indicate that there's been a fracturing that's caused a change in the patient's the person's bite or occlusion.
Okay, and you are an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, and the upper jaw is called the maxilla. But I was thinking about this yesterday. How come you're not an oral and mandibular facial surgeon? How come the mandible gets second billing?
Well, some type of Latin or Greek historical type of program where the The upper jaw was called the upper maxilla, and the lower jaw was called the lower maxilla.
Oh, it was?
Going way back. And we're actually making a movement. We aren't changing our name, but we do frequently refer to ourselves as oral facial surgeons, which is, one, probably more descriptive of what we do, and two, is a lot easier to say.
Okay, so you're going to get rid of the maxilla part, hopefully, and that'll keep the mandible from feeling slighted.
Absolutely.
Okay, it looks like it's time to go to another break. Can you hang with us?
Certainly.
All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko, ici sur votre radio préférée.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us, 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at 262-9588.
Dr. Kvitko &
Associates. Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkvitko at aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kvitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
You make me smile. Please stay for a while now. Just take your time wherever you go.
All right, and we're back. And if you're just joining us, we are speaking with Dr. Bill Nelson, President-elect of the American Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, live from Wisconsin, and we're discussing National Facial Protection Month. So, hey, Dr. Nelson, tell me about, I'm always curious about these different shape helmets, okay, because it's the helmet and the face shield, of course, that we're talking about. So football has one shape, lacrosse has another shape, cyclists have another shape. Even the batting helmet for baseball players is different. Why are they all so different when it's this, when we're still trying to protect people from the same thing?
Well, I think based on the particular sport, you know, there are different areas that may be more vulnerable to a type of injury. For example, let's say a baseball player who's standing sideways has their ear and their temple area exposed to where the pitch or the ball is coming from. So in those particular sports, we would expect and we would see a helmet design or protective equipment design that would protect those more vulnerable areas. Obviously in football or lacrosse, areas like that where there's hockey, where there might be more direct facial contact either with the other players or with the puck or
the stick,
whatever. I think that there is there continues to be a lot of research on different head and facial protective equipment, and some of it's player preference. You know, particularly as you get to the higher levels and professional athletes and things like that, they're making choices as to what they feel most comfortable with.
So we don't really care what the design is as long as it's suitable for the sport, but what we care about is that they wear it and that it have something, a cage or some kind of a mask that protects their face and their teeth, correct?
Yes, I think that's very important.
And it has to be worn. You can't just like put
Absolutely.
It on after the accident, because these masks prevent concussions, right?
Well, concussions are obviously a huge issue right now across the whole spectrum of any type of contact sport or even sports such as cycling and things of that nature. So the concussion issue is one that will continue to get more research and certainly more press, and hopefully we can decrease the cumulative effects of concussions, particularly in the younger athletes as they get older, and some of the consequences of those concussions.
And a concussion is when the brain is kind of like slammed against the inside of the skull, correct?
A concussion, it's a type of traumatic brain injury, and the brain actually is smaller than the skull. So the brain sits in a fluid or jelly in there. So when there's a jolt or a blow or an individual struck in the head, the brain actually moves within the cranium or the bony portion of the skull, and that creates the traumatic brain issues that we will see in concussion injuries. And you know, it's historically been the thought that it had to be some big blow where someone got knocked out or they were laying on the ground. But what we're finding more with traumatic brain injury research is that probably an equally large factor is repetitive blows.
A smaller blows, but a lot of them will still do the same thing.
Right, exactly, wow. and that's the concern in a lot of the for example the NFL right now, and a lot of the research is showing that not necessarily that one big concussion that causes the trouble, but it's playing a heavy duty contact sport for many, many years, and the cumulative, the built up effect of all those blows to the head is an issue.
I see. Okay. And so the signs and symptoms I know are what? Temporary memory loss. What are some of the signs and symptoms that the coaches and the parents need to be looking for?
Well, I think one important thing to realize is that in some concussion type injuries, some of the effects and signs and symptoms are immediate. But in others, they may be things that present themselves over the course of days or even weeks after the injury. But the things I usually think about are awareness of memory. If there's difficulty thinking clearly, or one feels slowed down, or they have difficulty concentrating. Certainly, if they have a headache that doesn't resolve. Fuzzy or blurry vision, nausea and vomiting early on, maybe a sign or symptom, dizziness, balance problems. And then there's certainly emotional and mood issues that people who are suffering the effects of a traumatic brain injury will have: irritability, they might be depressed, might be more emotional than they typically are. And then one of the very interesting things are a concussion injury can affect sleep patterns. So an individual may sleep more than usual, and others may sleep less than usual, and others may have trouble falling asleep. So those are the types of things that we would particularly be concerned about and pay attention to.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Nelson, we have about a minute, maybe a minute and a half at most. So what would be the takeaway message? What would you like people to know with these final seconds?
Well, I think the concussion injuries, any type of facial injury or concussion injury is not a minor issue. It needs to be appropriately evaluated and treatment rendered as appropriate. I think on the concussion standpoint, it's very important that parents and adults and our parents and the athletes and the coaches all have a clear understanding that if you're suffering any of these types of signs or symptoms, you need to report it. Because we do know that second concussions are more frequent after a first one and can be a very, very serious medical or neurologic problem.
Okay, and I know that one of the things that allows people to evaluate whether there's been a concussion occur or not is some kind of a pre-injury testing. So I understand that at some age, maybe is it high school, they're recommending that these young athletes be tested, kind of like, can they put the square peg in the square hole kind of a thing, test their memory and whatnot, so that they have a baseline to compare to. At what age does that type of thing become suggested?
Well, it's certainly starting at a professional level as part of the NFL's concussion protocol that's coming out. But it's reasonable in a high school or middle school athlete to have that baseline neuropsychological testing done so that if there is some type of head injury, there's the ability to compare progress and improvement. And that's an important factor in determining when an individual can return to a sport.
That sounds great. Hey, Dr. Nelson, I think we need to have you back on the show at some point. Can you hang on the line and we'll maybe pick a date for that?
That would be great. Thank you very much. Enjoyed speaking with you this morning.
Thank you, too. All right. Remember, podcasts are available at dentallyspeaking.com and also go to my office Facebook page. I'm on Twitter at Dr. Kavitko. And next week, we'll have two OSU veterinary students, Janine Lice and Amanda Derbyshire, on the show talking about dental health and dental health care in cats and dogs. Hopefully they'll tell us the name of those horse teeth that keep on growing that I couldn't remember the other day. It's going to be a great show, so don't miss it.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.